Just a few announcements we have this morning before we begin our worship. There will be a gospel meeting at the Farley Church of Christ today through Tuesday. Please see the bulletin board for additional information. To all of our senior citizens, please check the list on the ladies' bulletin board to see if your name is on it. If your name is not on that list, we ask you to please add your name to the list. Again, it's located on the ladies' bulletin board in the media center. So please take a look at that before you leave today. A reminder to the ladies, the ladies' Bible class will be today at 4 p.m. They will be studying lesson number one. Again, the ladies' Bible class at 4 p.m. today, and you'll be studying lesson number one. We have one prayer request. It says, Northwest Church family, please pray for Miss Terry Williams. Doctors in Huntsville and at Vanderbilt Hospital in Nashville have not been able to diagnose her illness. And this was presented by Brother Willie Malone, submitted by Brother Willie Malone. So please pray for Miss Terry Williams. Let us all stand then as we prepare to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most gracious and eternal God in heaven, the God who sits high and look low, to the God that knows all about us, to the God that woke us up early this morning and started us on our way. Father, we lift up our hearts and our minds unto you today with heartfelt thanksgiving. Thanking you, Father, for allowing our golden moments to roll on just a little bit longer. Realizing that, Father, there could have been alternatives to our life here on this side. But, Father, you looked down and you blessed us with your tender love and your care. And you woke us up on this morning. Father, we are so thankful for all that you have done for us. All that you will continue to do for us. And Father, all you asked us to do is to worship you and to be obedient to your every word. And Father, we're just thankful for your word, for your word is true. Your word is that guiding light that will lead us home one day. Father, all we got to do is just believe and live it all of our lives and be faithful unto you. You said in your word that you would give us a crown of life when all of this life is over. Father, we look forward to that day when we could be in heaven with you. Father, we come praying this morning for Miss Terry Williams. Father, we pray that you would bless her in a special way. Be with those doctors, Father, who are trying to figure out what her medical illness is. Father, be your will. Help them, Lord, to find out and isolate her problem. And then, Father, prescribe a medication that will help her along the way. Father, this morning we are prayerful for all of us that are here today. Father, realize that, Father, we need you. We need you each and every day of our lives. Father, every time we look around, the hearse wheels are rolling. People are leaving this world, Father, without knowing your son, Jesus. And Father, we pray that you will bless us to have a word on our lips and on our minds to share the good news of the gospel with all the world, that all may come to know who Jesus is and what he's done for each and every one of us. Father, this morning we are so thankful to see Sister Carla in our midst this morning. Thank you, Father, for blessing her to be here today. Continue to will in her life, the Father, and bring her back to a reasonable portion of health. Father, only that you can do. Father, be with all of us here, particularly those that are suffering through illnesses and those are recovering from illnesses. Father, be with all of them and help them along the way. Father, be with those who have lost loved ones this year, realizing that the weeks, months ahead, Father, are difficult. But, Father, we know that you are a God of all comfort. You will help us to get through these trying times in our lives. And, Father, we just thank you for all of your blessings. Be with this congregation of people who have gathered here this morning to express their love and their adoration and their care, not only for one another, but for you, Lord, to thank you for all that you've done. Father, we realize that we are unworthy. this morning to stand before you and ask you for anything because of who we are. But Father, you are such a good God that you look beyond our faults and you see our every need. And for that, we are truly and eternally grateful. Father, be with us as we render this worship service unto you. And may it be a sweet smelling savor unto your nostrils. When all is said and done, may we be edified and may you be glorified in the things that we do this day. Be with all of us, the Father. Be with your manservant who will stand before us shortly and break unto us the bread of life. Father, may he say something today that will prick someone's heart to ask the question, what must I do to be saved this day? And Father, I pray that they will make up in their minds this day before it's everlasting and eternally too late to put on Christ in baptism this day. And Father, you said in your word that if we obey your will, you will in our lives, you will do good things for us. And Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us and in your word. Father, thank you for this worship. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who you gave to die on the cross of Calvary. Father, thank you for the blood that he shed and the suffering that he had to go through, all because he wanted to please you. And Father, we are thankful. We are thankful today that you didn't ask us to die for you, but you asked your son. And for that, we are eternally grateful. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and thanks we give. And amen.
Good morning. Our scripture for this morning's lesson is taken from Ephesians. The chapter is 4, verses 1 through verse number 5. That's Ephesians, the chapter is 4, verses 1 through verse number 5. The Bible reads, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation wherein ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. Number 5 says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. May God add a blessing to the hearers and the doers of his word.
Good morning. First song selection will be page number 25 in our blue folders. Page 25. If you have it, let us sing. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. Now just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. He will hear our faintness, and he will answer by and by. Now when you feel a prayer for yearning, as your heart to heaven is turning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my path seems drear, without a way of cheer, and then a little doubt may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our trouble. He will hear. with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fear, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our trouble. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer for you, as your heart to heaven is turned, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Song selection will be page 53. Page 53. If you have it, let us sing.
There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon their glory share. Where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy, will be happy over. Oh, we will shout and sing his praise. Everybody will be happy over some of all ages will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all nations will join in the triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. Oh, we will shout and sing his praise. Everybody will be happy over there. Kept us by his grace, and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy over there.
Please mark for the song of invitation, page 22. Page 22 in your blue folders. Then turn over to page 8. Page 8. Grab it. Let us sing. When we reach that city of the New Jerusalem, we're gonna sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. By and by, we'll have the ransom singers. We'll be gathered with them. Sing hallelujah. We're gonna sing hallelujah. By and by. Oh, what? Oh.
God is such a good God. He has allowed our lives to continue. And we are at this place on the first day of the week to offer Him the sacrifices of our praise. And for that, we are eternally thankful because He didn't have to do it, but it's because of His love, His mercy, and His long suffering. Somewhere I read in the Bible, well, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, I believe it is, verse 15, that we ought to count the long suffering of God as salvation. In other words, God is suffering long with us. We ought to be thankful to that, to our God, for suffering long, because all the time we just don't do right. But because God is long suffering, gives us the opportunity to do right and to get right. So let's not take advantage then of His long suffering. Let's strive each and every day of our lives to live as God has directed for us to live. So good to see everyone this morning, especially if you're visiting with us. We are so thankful that you have chosen to come and to grace our audience and worship our God today. And we are certainly trusting that if there's anything that we can do to assist you in any way, please do not leave without allowing us to at least attempt to assist you in the area that you may need, especially if it's of a religious nature. If we happen to say something, or if you happen already have a question or concern on your mind of something spiritual in your life, and you believe that we can help you with that, then please allow us that opportunity. We are a caring congregation, a caring people. We care about the souls of men. We want everybody to be saved. Why? Because that's what God wants. God wants everybody to be saved, and we're trying to be godly, and so certainly we want everyone to be saved also. If you're visiting, as Brother Hall has already said with us, we want to encourage you to fill out a visitor's card. We want to keep a record and have a record of your attendance with us on this day. So please fill out a visitor's card. They will be asked for in a later part of our service. We've been dealing since February with a series of lessons under the theme, Things Most Surely Believed Among Us. We recall, if we go all the way back to the first Sunday in February, when we read a scripture from the book of Luke, when Luke said that there have been some who have taken to hand to set in order things that were most surely believed among us. He said that they had delivered those things to us. This is Luke's talking now. Who at the beginning, he says, were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. He went on to say in Luke chapter 1, that it seems good to me to write unto you, most excellent Theophilus, that I might instruct you, or at least let you know, I'm paraphrasing it, of the things that you have been instructed, that you will be certain or be sure about those things. So we've been talking about things that are most surely believed among us. We've done up to this time about 8 lessons under that heading. Today, we want to continue and share with you another lesson under that very same heading. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 5, Paul says, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Last Sunday, if you were here, you remember we talked about the necessity. We believe in the necessity of baptism for salvation, realizing there are so many people who do not believe that you need to be baptized in order to be saved. But faithful children of God most surely believe that you need to be baptized to be saved. Somebody may say, Brother Branch, why are you preaching these lessons? We've heard these lessons years and years. Well, there are some people who haven't heard them years and years. And so from time to time, we need to reaffirm what we believe, that we may not drift off the path, that we may be able to help somebody else who do not believe what we believe according to the Bible. We can be able to help them to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. So this morning, when we look at what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 5, one then, even from the lesson that we taught last Sunday, comes to the conclusion that to be saved, it is evident that one must be baptized. Mark 16, verse 15, 16. First Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. It is God's will, as I've already said, that everybody be saved. First Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. That everybody be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. However, one must obey the Lord's will in order to receive the salvation that he wants to give. Therefore, then, it is necessary for all of us then to understand God's will. Ephesians 5 and verse 17, Paul says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Therein lies the problem with so many. Because men have been misled through false teaching and relying even on their own understanding rather than listening to the word of God. I remember what the wise man Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3, 5, and 6. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. He says, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. We need to acknowledge God. We need to recognize God and look to his word for direction for our path. We need to be people like Jeremiah, who said in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know that it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We cannot direct our steps to be pleasing in the sight of God. So this lesson then is designed to help us to understand God's teaching on the necessity of baptism for salvation, but not only the necessity of baptism for salvation, but one must receive the right baptism. You see, one can be baptized, but it may not necessarily be the right baptism. We want the right baptism because it takes the right baptism to save us. So when Paul wrote to the Ephesian Christians, he said there is one baptism. To obey the Lord and receive the right baptism, number one, we must receive the right teaching from God's word. Without the proper and the right teaching from God's word, one will receive not the right baptism, though he may be baptized, one will receive the wrong baptism. One must have the right teaching from the word of God. And I say to all of us this morning that the Bible teaches us that no one can come to Christ. That's the same as saying no one can be saved. No one can come to Christ without teaching. We can't feel our way to Christ. We can't wish our way to Christ. We must receive teaching, and it must be the right teaching. The right teaching comes from the Lord. And that's why Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse number 44 and 45, he says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Did you hear that? Jesus says, you can't come to me. He gives the invitation to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. But we cannot come to him unless the Father that sent him draw us. And then he went on to say, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then he says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. The prophet says that they shall be all taught of God. Jesus was referring to what Old Testament prophets had already said, that God is going to teach us. You remember what Isaiah said in Isaiah 2 and verse number 3? He says, and many shall say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord's house, to the God of Jacob. For he will teach us of his ways. Who's going to teach us? The Lord is going to teach us of his ways. So Jesus says, it's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of who? God. Now, God doesn't teach us, if you will, if I can put it this way, on a personal level. In other words, we don't hear God speaking from heaven to us. But there's a way that God teaches us. And he teaches us through his Son, through his Word. But yet Jesus says, you can't come to me unless the Father that sent me draw you, and I'll raise you up at the last day, because it's already written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. My point that I'm making is that we got to be taught to be saved. And if baptism then is necessary for our salvation, we got to be taught the right thing to receive the right baptism. We got to be taught. Micah even said the same thing, Micah chapter 4 in verse number 2. Isaiah 54 in verse 13. All of these scriptures talking about the Lord is going to teach us. So one then cannot come to Christ, cannot be saved without teaching. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 3, that was a man by the name of Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night. He was a ruler of the Jews. And he said, Rabbi, our master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. How do you know that, Nicodemus? He said, because no man can do these things that you are doing except God be with him. Then Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Then Jesus said this, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Except a man be baptized, he cannot be saved. But all of that comes through teaching. We would never know that we would have to be baptized if the Lord had not taught us. But since the Lord has taught us, and since the Lord is the Savior, it makes sense for us to believe and obey what the Lord teaches us. So it takes teaching to come to Christ. And that's why when Christ gave what we call the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, he said to his apostles, go and do what? Teach. You remember what he said in Matthew 28, verse 18? He says, all power, all authority in heaven and in earth, he says, is given unto me. He says, therefore, do what? Go, therefore, and teach. Do what, Lord? Teach. Why do you need to teach, folks? Because you can't come to me unless you're taught. Go and teach, he says, not some, not a few, not most, but he said, teach all nations. Everybody must be taught. Are you glad that God teaches us what to do to be saved? I'm glad. Because I don't know, you don't know, we don't know what to do to be saved. The Lord has to teach us. So Jesus says, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus commanded teaching. So the first thing we need to remember is that to obey the Lord in baptism, we must receive teaching, but not just teaching, we must receive the right teaching. And you understand this as the lesson proceeds. The second thing I want to leave with us this morning is that, because I'm coming to Ephesians 4 and verse 5, I want to leave with us this morning that there are at least four different baptisms that's mentioned in the New Testament. Number one, there is the baptism of repentance. It was carried out in water. John chapter 3, verse 23, we even read to this scripture last week. Bible says, and John was also baptizing in Enon near Salem because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. But this baptism that's mentioned in John chapter 3 and verse number 23, it was the baptism of repentance and forgiveness. For these people was based on their believing in Jesus. Bible says in Mark chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. There went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But this was a baptism of repentance. And it was for the remission of sins, yes, but based on the fact that they had to believe in Jesus. And that's why Paul said, according to the writing of Luke in Acts chapter 19 and verse number 4, talking to these men who had already been baptized, and we'll talk a little bit about them a little bit later on. But he said in verse number 4, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So there's the baptism of repentance. Not only is there was there the baptism of repentance, but secondly, that was the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. And the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, was promised to the apostles. Only to the apostles. But you know, today we have people claiming that they've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Or you have people tarrying, they say, for the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost was only promised to the apostles. Notice what the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 4 and 5. The Bible says, and being assembled together with them. And when you read the whole context of that, you see that he's assembled with the apostles. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. But John, truly, he says, baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Who's he talking to? The apostles. You're the one that are going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He told them not to depart from Jerusalem. And you keep on reading, you see they went on back to Jerusalem and they stayed there. Luke again, writing in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Upon who? Upon you. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the apostles. He has gathered together with the apostles. He's now talking to the apostles in Luke chapter 24. So he says, again, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye are you be endued with power from on high. But when did that happen? On the day of Pentecost, according to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, again, was only promised to the apostles. It was never for salvation. Can I say that again? The baptism of the Holy Ghost was never for salvation. So why are people waiting for it? Tarrying for it? It was never for salvation. It was a guide to the apostles. John 14 and verse 26, among other passages, says that Jesus talking to his apostles, that I will teach you, that is, when he comes, the Holy Ghost, he will teach you and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said unto you. Who's he talking to? The apostles. John 16 and verse 13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but that which he hears, that shall he speak. Who's he talking to? The apostles. The baptism of the Holy Ghost was promised to the apostles for a specific purpose, that was to guide them and to teach them of all truth. Now, on one occasion, yes, on one occasion, some folks did receive the Holy Ghost, just like the apostles did. But it was not for salvation. The Bible says in Acts chapter 11, verse number 15 through 18, in Acts chapter 10, the apostle Peter had been summoned by Cornelius to come to his house. Cornelius had had a vision, and he had sent men to Joppa to call Peter to come to him. Peter came and preached the gospel to Cornelius and all of his household. Well, when he returns back to Jerusalem, the apostles and the other Jewish brethren there had heard that the Gentiles, Cornelius was a Gentile, had received the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 11 and verse number 1 that they contended with Peter because he had gone to the uncircumcision. You see, the Jews and the Gentiles, they didn't get along. And so they wanted to know, in so many words, what in the world are you doing going down now preaching to the Gentiles? You know we don't get along. Well, thanks be to God, God had already given Peter a vision and told him, don't call anything common or unclean that I have cleansed. So Peter then began to rehearse in Acts chapter 11 what had happened when he came to the household of Cornelius. And notice what he says in these passages, verses 15 through 18. He says, and as I began to speak, he's talking about what he was doing in the household of Cornelius. He says, as I began to speak, he says, what? The Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. And then he goes on and says, then remember I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Then the next passage says this, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Verse number 18 says this, when they heard this, of these things rather, they held their peace and glorified God. Now, what were they doing at first? They were contending with Peter. Basically, almost fussing with Peter. But when Peter told them this, the Bible says they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You know why they held their peace and glorified God? Because now they are convinced that God will save the Gentiles just like he saved them. So that occasion of the Holy Ghost was given to convince those Jewish brethren that God had put no difference between Jew and Gentile. That's the only other occasion you see where folks receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost just like the apostles. You'll never read about it anywhere else in the New Testament. So when I talk about things that are most surely believed among us, I'm talking about things that are believed among us according to the Scriptures. We go by what the Scripture says, and not by what folks say and what folks teach. Folks who teach that you need to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost will never find that teaching anywhere in the New Testament. It was only to the apostles and came only to the household of Cornelius. And that was for the purpose of convincing those Jewish brethren that God looked at Gentile and Jew just alike. Then there's the baptism of suffering. And the principal application of the baptism of suffering is to Jesus, but it also went to the apostles and eventually comes to us. Look at what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 20, verses 22 through 23. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. And what he's replying to is that the mother of John, James and John, had asked Jesus to let my son sit on one on your right hand and one on your left hand. And the apostles, the rest of them, got upset because they thought that these two brethren were going to get the upper hand on them. You know, sometimes there are folks in the Lord's body who get upset because they think somebody else is going to get the upper hand on them. But we're all in this thing together. So they got upset. Now notice what Jesus said. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we be able. Now they didn't really understand what they were saying then. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. So the baptism of suffering, number one, Jesus was referring to himself. The suffering that he was going through was going to be a baptism of suffering. An immersion into suffering. But then secondarily, it was applied to the apostles because Jesus says, yes, you don't really know what you're asking about, but you're gonna be baptized with the suffering just like I am. So in John chapter 21, the Lord is now talking to Peter. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, verse number 18, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. You went wherever you wanted to go. on your own. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Right now, you go where you want to go. But when you get old, he says, somebody else is going to get you and going to take you where you don't want to go. He's talking about suffering. You know the reason why he's talking about suffering? Because of what the scripture says. Because the very next verse, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. And do you not know that Peter and all of the rest of the apostles, except John on the Isle of Patmos, suffered a martyr's death, if you will. They were all killed. They all suffered for the cause of Christ. John suffered. All of them suffered, but all of them were put to death because of their faith in Christ Jesus, except John. He died a natural death. But this was a baptism of suffering that they didn't really realize when they asked, or when they said, yes, we are able. They didn't realize that that's what the Lord was talking about, but it happened to them. So what have we seen? We have seen then the baptism of repentance. We have seen the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have seen the baptism of the suffering. And before I leave that, eventually that comes to us, suffering. Because 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12, Paul was inspired to say, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says, whereunto were you called, like as Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Christ suffered. The apostles suffered. All that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. Now we come to what Paul was talking about in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 5. It's the baptism of water. Baptism of repentance, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and fire, baptism of suffering. Now the baptism of water. And this baptism was for the remission of sin. Acts 2 and verse 38. This is the one baptism that is in effect today for salvation. Baptism in water for the remission of sin. And so, lastly this morning, only after one receives this one baptism that Paul talks about, after having received the right teaching, can he or she be saved. One baptism. Not one in number, but the one right one. See, I was hung up on this myself, Brother William. Because I had been baptized once. I thought I didn't have the right understanding. I thought that when the Bible said one baptism, that it meant one in number. And so I fussed, and I kicked, and I screamed, not literally, but I objected to it. Until I came to the understanding that Paul was not talking about one in number. He was talking about the one right one. Well, how can you say that, Brother Branch? According to the scripture, I can say that. I want us now, as I close out this lesson this morning, to look at somebody in the Bible. Not look at somebody, your neighbor or somebody else, but look at somebody in the Bible who had been baptized, but it was the wrong baptism. In Acts chapter 18, we read of a certain man, a certain Jew, the Bible says, named Apollos. Acts 18, verse 24 and 25 specifically. This man was born in Alexandria. He was an eloquent man. And mighty, listen to this now, and mighty in the scriptures. Came to Ephesus, the Bible says. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the spirit. We need folks that are fervent in the spirit, don't we? He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, but look at what the next phrase says. Knowing only the baptism of John. What was the baptism of John all about? The baptism of repentance. And so that's all that he knew. Even though he was fervent, he was mighty in the scriptures, he had not come to the realization and understanding that now folks needed more than the baptism of John or the baptism of repentance. But that's all he knew. Knew only the baptism of John. Well, when Paul got there, in Acts, according to Acts chapter 19, Paul met these individuals that Apollos was instrumental in baptizing. Notice what the scripture says. The scripture says in Acts chapter 19, that about verse number 2 beginning, Paul began to have a conversation with these individuals. The Bible says he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, he's not talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as what? Heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. But Paul knew something was wrong with their teaching. So the Bible goes on and says, and he says unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto what? John's baptism. What was John's baptism? The baptism of repentance. And then verse number 4, I've already mentioned this. Then Paul said, John verily baptized unto the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ. And then verse number 5. The Bible says, Acts 19 and verse 5. The Bible says, when they heard this, they were baptized. Now, you remember last Sunday when I was preaching on baptism being necessary for salvation? That I mentioned, out of all of the cases where you read in the New Testament, particularly in the book of Acts that talks about baptism, not one case can I find where people objected to being baptized. This is one of the cases. These people here, they did not object. They could have said, like so many folks said today, we've already been baptized. They could have said, Sister Teal, like I said a long time ago, I've already been baptized. I objected to it. But not these people. They did not object to being baptized. So why do people today, when they realize, or at least when they are taught that you've been baptized wrong, why do they object to it? Because they don't have the proper understanding. So I'm teaching this lesson like this so that hopefully we'll get the proper understanding that until we receive the right teaching, we can never be baptized right. And folks, there are a lot of folks that are teaching maybe that you should be baptized, but they are not members of the body of Christ. They've been baptized into another institution. But you know, when folks were baptized in the New Testament, what did the Lord do? Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church, to his church, daily such as should be saved. And that was not another church not a church around at that time. But now other institutions have come on the scene. They have no scriptural authority for being in existence. So it doesn't matter if they baptize. They are an unauthorized institution. Therefore, an unauthorized institution cannot teach you an authorized gospel. Because they are teaching falsely. Many of them, yeah, they teach some truth, but many of their teaching is false. That makes the whole thing false. So to be baptized right, then, you must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so these people did not object to being baptized again. The Bible says when they heard this, they were baptized. So only the right baptism will save a person. When I talked about unscriptural religious organizations just a moment ago, I'm talking about organizations that the Lord has nothing to do with as far as their being in existence. The Lord only prescribed only one. Ephesians 4:4 says there is one body. The body is the church. Ephesians 1:23, Colossians 1:18. One body, one church. But after that, years after, the scripture said that all these other institutions came on the scene. What's going to happen to them? We need to look at the scripture. The Bible says in Matthew 15 and verse 13, every plant, not some, but every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up, going to be destroyed. So what does that say then if a person, even though he or she may have been baptized, but he's in another plant, in another institution that the Lord has not planted, going to be destroyed eternally? Do you want that? I don't want that. So I want to receive the right teaching and become a member of the right church. The church that the Lord adds folks to. These people on the day, or rather, in Acts chapter 19, the Lord added them to his church. Not to a man-made church, but to his church. And the Lord's church will stand forever. You know what Daniel said when he was prophesying about the kingdom, about the church? In Daniel 2 and verse 44, Daniel 2 and verse 44 says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. But Matthew 15 and verse 13 says, every plant which the Lord has not planted shall be rooted up. Do you want to be a member of something that the Lord hasn't planted? I don't want to be a member of something that the Lord has not planted. I want to be a member of something that the Lord has planted, and only the proper teaching will get me there. And we're talking about baptism today. So one then has to receive the right teaching in order to receive the right baptism. You see, wrong teaching again equals wrong obedience. And wrong obedience certainly will never save. So I hope I'm talking to somebody this morning. If you realize that you haven't been taught right. And one way to realize that is to look at where you are. If you're a member of some other institution other than the Lord's church, the church of Christ, the one that you can read about in the New Testament, you're a member of an unauthorized institution. and you can never be saved. So what you need to do is to do the same thing that I realized that I needed to do in 1971, was forsake all of that stuff that I thought was all right back then and obey the teaching of Christ and be baptized again and become a member of the Lord's church. Because salvation is only in Christ. And the only way you can get into Christ is to be baptized into Christ after receiving the right teaching. So you may have been baptized 10 times, 15 times, however many times. But if you haven't received the right teaching, you have not got into Christ. If I were you, if I was out of Christ, I'd want to get in there because that's what salvation is. So if you're here there this morning, realizing again that you are separated from Christ because you received the wrong teaching,